Reynolds Englehart has a nose for strange and kooky characters. He's best known for his drag-tastic creation, Magnolia Crawford, who was kicked off early on the sixth season of RuPaul's Drag Race. For those of you who may have missed this wonderful reality TV show, it beat out The Amazing Race and Survivor for the coveted Television Critics Association Award.
Unfortunately, Magnolia Crawford was given a bad edit and made to look like a miserable bitch. She was mercilessly teased for contouring her nose with makeup into a razor-sharp point that could definitely cut a bitch if she wanted to. The fact nobody got sliced by her schnoz means Miss Crawford showed great restraint.
Listen as we talk with Reynolds about his mixed experience on reality television, serving RuPaul as a flight attendant before he got on the show, and growing up gay at a conservative boarding school.
Plus, questions from you.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
From the creators of Feast of Fun comes Cooking with Drag Queens, a new web series that combines two of America's favorite pastimes, drag and eating. See your favorite queens and some sizzling new gals channel their inner June Cleaver without the beaver on this delicious new cooking show.
But like the podcast, it can only happen with your support. Watch the video and share it with your friends at tinyurl.com/cookingwithdragqueens. Our guest today, Reynolds Englehart, has a nose for strange and kooky characters and is best known for his drag-tastic creation, Magnolia Crawford, from RuPaul's Drag Race Season 6. Magnolia Crawford was sadly given a bad edit and made to look like a miserable bitch. She was also mercilessly teased for contouring her nose with makeup into a razor-sharp point that could definitely cut a bitch if she wanted to, or stab her. The fact that nobody got sliced means Miss Crawford has great restraint. Welcome to Feast of Fun, Reynolds.
Well, thank you for having me.
Is that the Magnolia voice?
That was Magnolia. Thank you for having me.
Because you left her in the box tonight.
Yeah, she's not here.
Where does that voice come from?
In my day-to-day life, I see a lot of elderly people, and I picked up really early about the way they, on the way they pronounce certain things, such as orange. They'll say,
how do they pronounce it?
They'll say orange. Not every.
They like to add syllables to words.
Or they'll say mileage instead of mileage, or trash, garbage. So I picked up on this, I guess it's an outdated accent, and I thought that's funny, and I tried to bring it into
it's
Magnolia.
A very Midwestern thing.
It is, yeah.
A little Sarah Palin in there, or
a little
something.
Bit, but the whole,
don't you know?
Not so much that, like, not more more Chicago than Minneapolis.
Yeah, you grew up in the you grew up all over the country, but you spent some time in Highland Park.
No, St. Charles.
St. Charles.
Yeah.
Jesus. So before we got started talking about everything else, let's talk about your nose.
Okay, yeah.
I want to just say for the record that you can look as bad or sharp or pretty or beautiful as you want. They don't pay your bills. You should not pay them any mind. But everybody's criticizing you on the show. And hello, Roxy Andrews was portrayed as this brilliant makeup artist, and she was doing the same thing.
She had an exclamation mark on her nose.
Yeah, it looked like she was always excited to see you.
Right, yeah.
Boom.
The difference between Roxy and Magnolia is that I lasted one episode and I didn't really get the chance for people to understand what I'm all about or to learn to like me or grow to like me.
To everybody who laughed at Magnolia's nose, and especially I'm talking to you, Bianca Del Rio, swordfish joke. Fuck you.
That's a pretty good joke, though.
Oh, yeah.
That's a pretty good joke.
No,
I mean, you have to admit
that.
your nose, because your nose is kind of thin to begin with. It's kind of the nose people want, and then you like made it so small,
your
it's
nose
almost subatomic.
Your nose normally looks like what drag queens with big honkers want to their nose to look like.
Well, you know, first about that swordfish thing, when she said that, I was happy as a pig in shit, because it's really great that people are, anytime somebody says something about me that I can turn into a catchphrase or that other people do for me, I'm happy, because obviously the exposure thing is working when that happens.
Yeah.
You can say swordfish and then I'll hashtag team swordfish, you know, that's great. But the thing about Magnolia is that as a character, she's always trying to be there, but never really there. She's always aiming, but kind of falling short. And I always thought it was funny to overly contour my nose too thin. On the show, it came across a little dark. I will say that. So,
well, they never show you what you look like on high definition television, right?
Right.
And most drag queens paint for a dark nightclub.
Right. Yeah. And they actually did warn us, say, hey, you're not on stage, you need to paint different, and I didn't listen.
Were other drag queens on the show also contouring in kind of extreme ways?
Well, I think certain queens definitely contour or paint lighter than others. Mm-hmm. You know, Courtney is a much more natural paint.
Does Courtney even wear makeup?
Right. I don't think so. I think she wears tinted moisturizer.
Yeah. It's a cherry chapstick.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And that too, yeah. A little tinted moisturizer. Maybe some glitter.
Yeah.
But Bianca, of course, she has like extreme eyes, and she got some criticism for that too, actually. But
in one episode, she actually changed them a little bit, right? She's like, see, look, a different look, same dress.
But it's interesting, like drag queens, once you reach a certain look, you hold on to it for dear life. And it's like when you're on these kind of competition situations, and the judges are telling you, change your ways or you shall see the door.
Well, as far as the look that I have clung to, it's not so much about not being willing or not being able to change the look. It's about being unwilling to, because it's part of the the image, you know, the brand, you know, if you will. It's like how many times do you ever see Homer Simpson wearing a shirt that's not white, you know, the same outfit he always wears, and because that's his image and that's who he is as a character.
So when you're on RuPaul's Drag Race and they're asking you to intentionally change the integrity of whatever it is you created, how does that reckon with you?
I don't know. That never happened. I'm not sure how that reckoned with. That didn't come up.
It was only on one episode.
Right, yeah. It came up and I didn't get the opportunity to do it.
I mean, they had prepared you. They obviously like told you, prepare for a patriotic outfit, a country western, a workout gear, banji, bougie realness, and that stuff.
So with preparing for the challenges, you mean? Yeah. The list we got, what I tried to do was prepare as best as I could. And of course, while staying true to the character or preparing in a way that Magnolia would find to be Banji Girl, Magnolia's interpretation of what that is, or
basically 80-year-old woman's idea.
Well, not so much.
How old is Magnolia Crawford, actually?
She is timeless and ageless. And but Magnolia more isn't about being older than she looks or older than she. It's more about being stuck in a different time. Magnolia kind of mentally resides in, I would say, like 1987.
She's like Mrs. Howell from Gilligan's Island, you know, in that episode where Mrs. Howell's dancing, you know, and you're like,
I have not seen that episode. Another thing I didn't watch, I guess. But
you were saying in one interview before the reunion show that you never watched any episodes of season 6 of RuPaul's Drag Race.
Not even your own.
Okay, well, that is mostly true. I did watch one episode. I don't remember which episode it was. Oh, no, I watched 3 episodes.
But not the ones you were on.
No, I watched the first episode at the premiere party in LA because they screened it.
They tied you down and strapped your eyeballs like Clockwork Orange,
and
forced you to watch it.
So I watched that one, and then I watched the last episode, not the reunion, but the last episode at the finale.
Okay, where they have Darianne run on a treadmill. It was the first time she ever exercised.
That's the one, right?
And
right.
For life.
Yeah, I did watch that one too. And then I watched.
Why the reticence not to watch the series that was just nominated, which just won an award for best reality TV show from the Film Critics Association or TV Critics Association?
Okay, yeah.
And you were on it.
Well, I was on it, actually.
Did you get a little chip of that award or no?
No, I think that all goes to RuPaul.
I think it goes to the producers, actually, or director or something.
RuPaul doesn't even get to see it.
Right. Maybe he gets to touch it. I don't know. Polish it every now and then.
So why are you not watching?
Yeah. No, listen, I like the show. It's obvious I like the show. I liked it enough to audition and to get on the show. When I said I wanted to remember my experience as the way it was, that was not BS, despite what was said. That was the truth. I was being honest when I said I wanted to remember my experience for how it was. And then on top of that, I did not want to see all that I missed out on, which is a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't want to see what I missed out on. And then, of course, I didn't want to see how I was portrayed versus the way I think I should have been portrayed and all that. You know, I didn't.
Was that emotionally, like, difficult?
Yeah, I really, really, really detached myself.
Yeah.
And have remained so.
Did you ever, like, cry on a friend's shoulder about it, or?
There were a couple times I was really upset, but, yeah, like I said, I've really.
Now, this year was a different kind of year than most years where they split up the groups. Mm-hmm. They split you guys up into groups into two episodes. Now, Kelly Manta was the first one to go from her group, and then you were the first one to go from your group. Do you and Kelly kind of ever get on the phone and talk about what it's like to be like,
yeah,
get the axe?
Sure. Yeah, actually, right after taping, excuse me, I texted or I emailed her, I don't remember, and then we met up and had coffee and we started chatting. And I really like Kelly. I think she's more talented than she was able to portray also. Mm. But yeah, so I don't think that Kelly and I are particularly bonded because of the first boot.
Because mm-hmm. she actually seemed like she didn't really care that much. She was like, I just wanted the exposure. I got other stuff going on. What do I care?
Right.
You know.
Well, that's...
But you seem kind of a little bit disappointed that you were first to go.
Yeah, of course. I think that everybody who goes home first. Oh, actually, I was second to go. Let's make sure we point
that out.
But
first in your group.
First,
right. That's true. But
had they figured out how to humiliate you more, they would have. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
they're like,
absolutely.
Well, the next challenge is crawling through pig shit.
Well, now you describe Magnolia Crawford as not a drag queen, but as a mm-hmm. character. What's the difference?
Well, you know, I think that a drag queen is somebody who, I feel like drag queens are very similar in or out of makeup. It's kind of the mm-hmm. same person transformed into a female self almost, mm-hmm. you know. Like, for example, I think that Darian, whom I adore, is very much the same whether makeup is on or off, you know? Mm. I think the same about Courtney and Adore mm. and even Bianca. I know Bianca has more of a stage act, mm-hmm. you know, public face than a private face, you know? But for Magnolia, Reynolds and Magnolia are not in any way the same.
So you're trying to say that Reynolds is not detestable?
Right. Yeah. I think people might actually like Reynolds, enjoy having coffee with him.
Well, hold on. So you're on your driver's license.
Yeah.
Can you pull it out? I want to. Reynolds Engelhart sounds like also a fake name.
It's actually Engelhart.
Engelhart.
But, yeah. Do you really want to see it?
Yeah. Okay. I want to see. I'm like, I can't. I have. I'm like, we're putting him on the spot.
Yeah.
Reynolds. Engelhart.
Okay, look at my...
I'm sorry I mispronounced your name.
That's okay.
Oh, you're so handsome. You know, everybody talks about Milk being handsome, but you're like much hotter than Milk.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
6 foot tall. True. Mm-hmm. Weight 160. True. Mm-hmm. And there it is. Reynolds
Engelhart.
Engelhart. Yeah, but like, spelled with an E.
With an E. Like Laura Ingalls, but Engelhart.
I'm not going to say your middle name, but...
You know, that's okay, yeah.
For privacy reasons.
Thank you.
So people can't, like... Now I know your social security number, your middle name, your mother's maiden name.
Yeah. Date of birth, all that kind of stuff.
Suddenly you have home loans taken out in your name.
Right. My date of birth, of course, April 13, 1992.
No, don't say the year.
1992.
Oh, thank you.
Right, yeah.
21 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you have a very works. Like your legal name, your boy name, mm-hmm. your birth name is very white. You have like a last name for a first name.
I do. Yeah. You know, back when I got the weird name of Reynolds, it was uncommon to have weird names. Now everybody has a weird name. You know, my nephews are named Bjorn and Anders, which are Norwegian names, and they're wonderful, adorable, and great kids. But it's very very common now to have weird names.
And then Magnolia Crawford is a combination of your favorite movie and your favorite camp icon.
It's not
Joan
Steel
Crawford.
Magnolias?
That's
slash
not
Joan Crawford?
Well, that might be Magnolia's favorite movie. That's not my favorite movie. My favorite movie is actually The Royal Tenenbaums. Side note. But
because you're into incest or what?
Right, yeah. Well, but you know, she was adopted.
Oh,
so
that's
it's
true.
Not real actual incest.
Weren't they raised together?
Yes, but she did run away for a few years. Remember when she lost her finger and all that. But I have said in the past that Magnolia comes from Steel Magnolias and Crawford comes from Joan and Cindy. That part is true. The Steel Magnolias part, I just say that. There's really nothing behind the name. It's just a stupid name. Sometimes that's the truth. It's just a stupid name that I thought up.
Magnolia Crawford.
Yeah.
Any explanation as to why Rue did it like that?
I have no idea. None.
I have a good hint. This is gonna show, remember, just anything that RuPaul does, it took place in the 50s, 60s, or 70s. Mm-hmm. The TV show Mr. Ed, there was a character, Magnolia. And
okay.
Oh, is that
and
it?
And so he does a Bray, Magnolia Crawford.
Huh. I didn't know that.
That's just a guess.
RuPaul's a fan of Mr. Ed.
There you go.
Mr. Ed, watch it on YouTube. There you'll see him talk about Magnolia. I'm really hot for that horse, Magnolia.
Ooh, I'd like to ride that filly.
You also do a lot of other characters. Bob Dittmeyer, Bob Civil War, Bob Jones.
I've always been creating characters ever since I was... little. I've been creating characters. It's just something that I do.
With the same first name.
Well, those two do have the same first name. You know, all the different things I've done in my life, I've really only focused on Magnolia as far as characters go. You know, I used to do this stupid fake newscast and Bob Dittmeyer was the news anchor. And that's...
You know, I actually saw those before you got on because we're always
sounds
shit.
Familiar. Yeah.
But my favorite thing you've ever done on YouTube is your how to take a shit tutorial.
Oh, that's kind of old. Yeah, that's sort of fun.
I know shit, girl.
Yeah, you know, you definitely want to stay tuned, though, because I do have some fun things coming up.
You hooked up with a guy on Craigslist, and it turned out he's a filmmaker.
Well, that's not quite what happened, but I did. I have started working with a filmmaker, and his name is Tim Davids, and very talented, and very funny, and very similar sense of humor. I'm very excited to be working with him. We're going to.
Is he handsome?
He's very talented.
Now, so Magnolia Crawford, do you find is it? You know, some people are attracted to drag specifically because it liberates them to say and do the things that they want to do.
Well,
you're such
a
nice guy and you're so soft spoken and so charming. To me, it's almost like an unfair injustice to see these reality TV shows and see really nice people get portrayed as villains.
Well,
like
it's not unfair because we know exactly what we're getting into when we audition and when we agree to do it. You know, everybody knows what reality is all about. Mm-hmm. And I knew exactly what I was getting into when I said, sure, I'll do it. So, I mean, it sucks that it works out in that way, but I knew it could happen. I hoped it wouldn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you were in doing the talking heads of RuPaul's Drag Race and they turn to you and they say, it was like, do you hate America or just freedom in general? This kind of thing. Like they kept trying to get you to say things like that you were on RuPaul's Drag Race as a stepping stone for your big illustrious career, which is not really how you felt about it.
Well, I did say that I was on there for the exposure, which would be to help with my career, but
I don't get why that's a bad thing. Because it's like you find me a drag queen that doesn't do it as a career
move.
Oh,
no, they're doing it to win.
Well, isn't that the same thing?
No, they're doing it for the art and to win.
For the glory.
No,
right. Yeah, bullshit.
Well, that's not...
Kelly kind of said I do it for the exposure.
Right. They all did it for... Anybody who says they did it for any other reason than the exposure is a big fat liar.
Well, can they say that it's both? Like, it's because it's fun and it's exciting and you want to, like, rub shoulders with giants and...
But that's exposure, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, it's fun. And to be able to rub shoulders with those people, you're only able to do it because of the... exposure and being on the show, you know. I genuinely believe that every person auditions for the show with the thought of this is going to raise my booking fee. I really hope I get on, and maybe if I win, great. But if you know,
you doubled your Twitter followers. I noticed. I saw that.
Yeah, a lot more actually. I think I had 300 or something before.
Yeah, and now how many do you have?
Well, I have about
600.
Exactly. I went from 300. Well, I think I'm closer to 700. But
it's sort of a nice thing. You know, you have these hopes and expectations. You put money into these costumes. You get flown to Los Angeles. You show up there.
Well,
and
in my case, I drove.
You drove there. Okay.
Right. Well, no, I got driven from my house to the studio.
Oh, because you were living in LA at the time.
They showed up in a Toyota Camry.
And you had to fit everything in
there. Right. I was like, why did you come in a sedan?
So doing this podcast is actually a step up.
Pretty much, yeah, right, exactly.
I'm glad to know that. And so when you're doing the talking head and they're asking you these kind of, you know, we've done reality TV show, we did What Not to Wear, and you kind of get hypnotized in a situation where you want to please the producers.
Right.
And the producer's like requiring you to answer the question to answer the question with the question in it.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And so they say, like, why do you hate Bianca Del Rio? It's like, I hate Bianca Del Rio because she picks her nose. And so they edited out, I hate Bianca Del Rio.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And then they miss the fact that you're, like, not really feeling that way, you know?
Well, you know, every single time I answered a question, I thought, this is going to haunt me. This is going to come back to haunt me. And honestly, a lot of it did. It really, like, for example, when I said, fuck Cher. And I do remember saying that.
What
and
was
I,
the context?
I guess I said something to the effect of, I think celebrity impersonations are stupid. Which I personally, as Magnolia, would never do a celebrity impersonation. And if she tried to do a celebrity impersonation, it would completely fall flat. And it would probably be actually quite funny because it would be so incredibly bad.
Sure.
But
Who did you want to do for Snatch Game?
Nobody. I did not want... I was dreading that.
So you
were
expecting
that, but
you could have
done
eliminated.
A good Phyllis Diller,
well,
I would imagine.
I was actually thinking of Nancy Grace or Mary Kay Letourneau.
Who is Mary Kay Letourneau?
Mary Kay Letourneau. Billy Falau Cats Meow. She fucked her fifth grade...
Had a baby by him, didn't she?
Yeah, they
a teacher. She was the teacher that had a baby. And that was that was a Seattle thing, right?
No, I think it was everywhere. I didn't live in Seattle at the time. Okay. No, I mean...
children, though. You got to think about the children.
It's
they don't know who
TV
she
show.
Is.
But that makes it all the better. Nobody knew who... Well, I mean, not a lot of people knew who Little Edie was when Jinx...
Who? Oh, Little Edie.
Yeah, when Jinx did her, a lot of people didn't know who that was.
Well, she's a camp icon, which is the difference between like a tabloid... personality, you know.
That's true. Yeah.
So it's and so when you're doing those talking head things and you're like, oh my god, this is gonna hurt, and then you just start to realize you're making me the villain of the show, aren't you?
Did you know?
You know. Yeah, and it just kind of, and I don't know that I was the villain of the show. I think I was a villain. I think this season actually had a lot of villains. Me and Gia and Laganja and Darian. And so I don't think I was.
There were. You guys should form a little club or something like
the
that.
Bad girls
club. The bad girls
right.
club.
I agree. That's a good idea.
You want a little tour together.
Yeah. That's
because how often are you in drag?
I don't like to be in drag more than twice a month. Mm-hmm. That's about my.
You said twice a week before we started taping, though.
No, I think
you
said twice a month.
Now,
twice
a month. Has that perspective changed? Where before you got on a Drag Race, were you doing drag more often? And then are you soured on drag? Or
No. You know, actually, what happened when I left, I moved away from Seattle about 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And when I moved to Los Angeles, I really had kind of not. When I got to LA, I really didn't do much drag. And it has not changed. I'm still not doing much drag.
But so the drag was more for doing stuff on YouTube.
Yeah, and for my own entertainment. When I was in Seattle, I was doing the drag scene, and I had a drag brunch, actually. And before Dee was on the show, Detox, she actually came up and did my brunch. It was a lot of fun. And, you know, it was a great, great, very good. It was the first brunch to come to Seattle in a very long time, and now they have a couple, and good for them. I'll take credit for bringing it back, though.
Detox is such a nice guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Adore.
Did you ever get a chance to work with Jinx or Ben de la Creme in Seattle?
Jinx. We did... it's called... why am I blinking? This is awful. Sylvia,
just make up the name.
Right. No, it was with Sylvia. Sylvia Stafemore. She's a local queen, and she...
Yeah.
Bacon Strip, sorry. It's called... We did that together.
Bacon Strip? You got Kelly Mantle there, too?
Right. No, you know, this... but Sylvia Stafemore is actually a very well-known local Seattle
queen. We've heard of her.
Yeah, she's fabulous, and it was her show, and I did that some with Jinx before Jinx was on the show, and Jinx...
Is she on season 7, Sylvia? Do you know?
Oh, I don't know.
Who is on season?
I don't
seven?
Know. I've heard
because they're taping right now.
Taping right now.
Right. So who's not tweeting?
Well, I know that Tranica Rex and Shea Coulee are suddenly disappeared, mm-hmm. and Dixie Lynn Cartwright is nowhere to be found.
Oh, they're all what about, over Facebook. They're not on that.
Those
show.
Are just their friends. Lies. Their friends are posting.
No.
Things.
Yeah, I heard.
We've seen them.
What's his name from YouTube? Misty, Petrilude. What's his
Misty
name?
Misty Eyes?
No, he's disappeared from Facebook, mm-hmm. but I don't remember his name, so it doesn't matter.
You know, with this is the thing, it's like you can set post to post in the future.
Uh-huh.
So they might be, you know, you could set a post, be like, shopping for wigs right now, or, right. you know, it's like, isn't the line at the post office always too long? Mm-hmm. And you don't know that you're gone. Yeah,
I actually had set up with my best friend to handle it. Not that she knew where I was going or anything.
No, you would never right. tell anybody no. what you're doing you, with all you those work, suitcases.
You work no. as a flight attendant.
I do.
And
day
you're,
job,
so you
yeah.
were able to keep your day job when you got on the show. Did you yeah. tell your company, your airlines company, like, by the way, I'm a drag queen and I want to get on, I got on a reality TV show and I need 5 months off.
Well, I what I specifically said to them doesn't matter, but what does matter is they were very, very good working with me to get the time off. So I'm lucky that I was even able to do it with my 9-to-5 that I was not interested in quitting, you know. Of
As
course.
A flight attendant, do you get any people who recognize you?
It has happened some, believe it or not, it has happened. We don't every now and then a young queen will come on and be like, "Oh my god," but
it's you.
Yeah, it's fun.
Are they nice to you or they're like, you know,
You know, here's the
you
thing.
You have a piss poor attitude. Right,
well, sure. But I actually I think any person, no matter how much they hate you, when they meet a quote unquote celebrity, they're going to be nice. Everybody's nice to your face.
Yeah.
You know, nobody's.
You said on the show that you agreed with them that you had a piss poor attitude.
Yeah.
What was going on in your mind?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a really good question.
Were you really like soured on it?
Yeah, I, you know,
because I'm imagining that if I got on that show, it would be like going to women's prison. I'd just be mm-hmm. scared that Gia Gunn would like stab me.
I did not meet Gia Gunn until yeah. we did our promo shoots, the, you know, the photo shoot and all the.
I ran into her at the beach today.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How's she doing?
She was having a good time.
Good for her.
She was hanging out with some guys that had some really nice abs.
Oh, very nice abs. Very good looking yes. men. And so, yeah. and I went up to her and I said, ¿Hablas español? And she said, sí, cómo no. She actually, Gia Gunn speaks like 3 or 4 different languages. And I said, ¿Tienes un poquito de polvo en la nariz? And she said, ¿Soplate la nariz? And she said, gracias. So all the Latinos there were like, oh, no, she did it. And all the white people were like, what did he say? What did he say? So anyways, I'm not going to translate it. So for those,
you can
this
go
is a little
to freetranslation.com.
Yeah. So you felt like you had a piss poor attitude, really? I mean, because you're such a yeah. warm, nice guy, you know, and you're in customer service. So you know how to like fake it to be right. kind to people.
I don't know what happened. Honestly, it just, the worst in me came out for whatever reason. It just is what happened, though. I don't know why.
What did you learn about yourself in that the worst in you will come right. out in that competitive situation?
Well, the ultimate thing I learned about myself is to always be in charge of my own editing. That's the most important thing I ever learned.
That's
right?
why we're doing Cooking with Drag Queens, honey, because I was like, I'm a little scared
yeah.
of being in that situation. Now, I just want to take a little moment to point out that Cooking with Drag Queens is almost halfway there.
Half, baby, and we're only like 10 days in.
Yes, and so this is a non-competitive reality show that we're developing here in Chicago with Mike Malarkey from Second City, and it's basically showcasing drag queens where women belong in the kitchen. It's well, basically June yeah. Cleaver without mm-hmm. the beaver.
And just because, yeah. you know, it's non-competitive, it doesn't mean we're not going to be bruising the meat a little bit.
The How's egos. That? Oh, my God.
How's the line go?
So basically, Cooking with Drag Queens will be me chewing out Mark Fillion for messing up my own jokes.
You got to crack a couple eggs to make a frittata.
Yes. It basically, just because it's a non-competitive show doesn't mean we won't be bruising a few egos. After all, you gotta tenderize the meat in order to pull out the flavor.
Hey! Graham Brown wants to know on Facebook, has your negative exposure on RuPaul's Drag Race hurt your career, or is there no such thing as bad press?
Well, I do believe there is no such thing as bad publicity. All publicity is good publicity. And the fact that my Twitter has just gone from a couple hundred to still the least followed of any drag queen from any season, pretty much, but almost 7,000.
You have less than Sonique?
Who is Sonique?
I might. I'm not sure about that. I know I have the least from
Phoenix?
I don't.
Who the hell is Phoenix?
I'm just pointing.
Hatchet face. You have more than less than hatchet face?
No. Yeah. No. I have more than.
So you have 7,000 followers?
That's something like that. So, I mean, it has helped. And my YouTube channel, it's helped Instagram and YouTube and Facebook and all that. But it has also been a two-edged sword because I've seen a lot of hate mail. You know, I've got some really, really, really mean hate mail.
Like what?
Like, go slice yourself with a razor blade and get AIDS. Like,
go really, cut yourself with your own nose.
Right. No, I mean, like, horrible, hurtful stuff. And I'm like, But you know, people can say whatever they want behind their computer. Mm-hmm. They feel so safe, protected behind.
You're arguing with a child, right? Sometimes, as Bianca Del Rio said, a teenager in Guatemala.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
You know, and so you really can't take too seriously.
But why do these fans of drag just take it so seriously sometimes?
Well,
seem to be very emotionally invested in it.
I'm guessing that they're. Lives revolve around it. They probably don't have a great social life, and so we become it for them. And
I mean, there's something exciting about being around drag queens. I can't deny it. It's like for me, RuPaul's Drag Race is my favorite TV show. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I totally
understand. Have you seen House of Cards?
Yes. I'm a fan of Breaking Bad, and okay. I like RuPaul's Drag Race even
more. It's your favorite. It's our favorite reality TV show.
Okay, okay.
I would say of anything.
Really?
Yeah. If there was like a Disneyland mm-hmm. for RuPaul's Drag Race, I would go to that.
Sure.
I feel like Drag Stars at Seas is more like the it's a low-budget version
Which,
of this.
For now, I'm still scheduled to do that.
You are going to be on Drag Stars at Sea.
I am for now.
Are people signing up under your name?
No. Oh. So sign up under me, otherwise I'll get fired.
Well, at least they won't. If nobody signs up.
Well, what will happen is I'll never be asked back. Which, that, you know, honestly, the thought of, I mean, I'm excited to do it, whatever, but the thought of spending a week with people explaining to them why I said what
people
I said.
People that hate you.
Right.
They could form a mob on that and really just throw you overboard.
And I'm really, I am.
You don't swim too well.
I don't like to swim.
Yeah.
No, I don't.
And witches sink to the bottom of the...
That's true. Well, right. But we can fly, so what difference does it make, I guess?
That's true.
Just
Satan,
don't get wet.
Help me. Right. Satan, help me. I want to record you on with my cell phone watching you being eliminated on RuPaul's Drag Race after we're done taping this. Can we do that?
You know, I have seen a couple clips online. We'll see.
A reaction video of you watching you be eliminated on RuPaul's Drag Race.
I'm just going to sit there shaking my head saying, why are you saying that?
Why me?
Just stop talking. Each thing you say, your foot goes deeper and deeper and deeper.
Now, what song did you have to lip sync to? I forgot. I'm sorry.
What was it?
You.
Was it a...
It was a Madonna song.
Was it Madonna?
It was a... Baby, come back to
and
me.
And when you got the song, when like, because everybody gets told like you have to prepare this song, where you're like, oh shit, they're coming.
Oh, you know
me.
What it was? It was Nat King Cole's daughter, Natalie Cole, Unforgettable. That was the song.
Right? Yeah. No, what was it though? I remember they gave us two songs, and I wanted the other song when it ended up playing. I was like, damn it, I wish it was the other song. I liked it better. Which, just so you know, not to toot my own horn, but Revolutionary Gay Magazine said that my lip sync alone should have brought me back because it was hilarious. And it was. I have seen, I know what my performances are like.
But you didn't watch it.
Well, I know what they're like, though. I've seen my performances before, and I know they're funny.
They might have used a smear filter and you know, and like crossfaded with a donkey taking a poop. I mean, you don't know what they did.
But But the fact that the magazine was so kind to my lip sync means I'm pleased with the lip sync. But
can we record you videotape? It was just a minute of you like sitting there and let the emotions come over your face, whatever. Or if you're just like, it's stoicism, and you don't give a fuck look on your face. Or if you start like really crying, it would be like one of your greatest videos ever.
Well, okay,
we can upload
fine.
It to your
why
channel.
Not? Why not? Let's do it.
Let's do it after
I
the
say
show.
Why. Okay.
I have to say, I really lost a lot of respect for RuPaul. Not because of all the hijinks that happened through the season, but because she had Kim Kardashian as a judge.
No, it was Khloe. Twice.
Right.
Khloe Kardashian. Yeah. All those skanks deserve to be put on a boat and sent back to Mexico.
And of all the people to say
the
that...
The Kardashians, of all people.
Right, and of all the people to say basic bitches not wanted or go home, whatever she said, I'm like, excuse me, the
She's
queen...
She's the most basic.
Right. Right. So, you know, I think that the Kardashians are about the most awful people on the planet. Famous strictly because they're famous, which is just horrendous.
Did you see Kim Kardashian's It Gets Better video? It was a really piece of work.
I did not see it. I have not... I hope they're not offended, but I've not followed their careers.
Kim Kardashian had the only gay person she actually physically knows is her personal assistant. And she's sitting there and she's like barking orders at him like, right, it's okay to be gay. And she's like, he's like, yes, Kim. Because Kim Kardashian, I don't know if people realize, she for a while pretended to serve as a personal assistant to Paris Hilton on her reality TV show to get her start. And Paris Hilton says she was one of the greatest mistakes she ever made in her life is to give Kim Kardashian her start. She unleashed that clan upon the pox.
And Kim
the
eclipsed
locusts.
Paris.
Yeah. Yes. Right. Well, you know, it's unfortunate because I actually like Paris Hilton. She had that great, what was that song? Stars Are Blind. You remember that song? Yeah.
Terrible. Then that video, terrible. Yeah.
And so Kim Kardashian's a judge on the show. You don't hide to or Khloe, whatever the fuck her name is.
One of them. The one with the least plastic surgery, right?
So you know, one Khloe is actually. If I were to be trapped with one of them, it'd probably be Khloe. She's probably one of the nicer ones. But it's like when you're standing there on the stage and you work so hard to get to where you are, and here's this like dilettante. You know, throwing shit at you, and you're just like, why, please die or go.
Yeah.
I mean, what did you want to just jump off the stage and just go? I would really like take that sword fist nose of yours and stab her a couple times.
Poke an eye out.
I think, from what I've understood, I was quite defensive. So, from what I remember, I did speak my mind.
Did you say?
I just remember being really, really defensive because I was at that point, I was kind of.
Were you feeling attacked?
Actually. Which, I mean, I actually thought that my cow print dress was kind of cute and it was so Magnolia. Every part of it was, including that stupid bow on my ass. But, you know, it just didn't work and that is what it is. But actually,
I think sometimes on RuPaul's Drag Race, they really want their drag queens to be pretty.
I've heard that, right? Yeah, I guess so.
And for some people, it's like it's an impossibility. Like, you know, if Mark, you were on the show, they'd be like,
I would try my best.
It's time for you to move on.
Right, yeah.
That kind of thing. So. What was it that RuPaul said to you when she eliminated you? Do you remember that?
I don't remember.
It's like...
No, I don't know. What did she say?
It's time for you to move on.
We're going to find out.
I guess so. We'll come back to that.
We have some great questions and comments from our listeners on the podcast, on the website. Facebook.com/Feast of Fun. Dara Hughes. She would have loved to watch you on the Snatch Game. But
Dara's a dude.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, Dara. No, but anyways, what challenge would you have liked to have the opportunity to tackle and you think you would have done really well? He loves your videos. He's a big fan of yours.
Thank you. Thank you. Dara?
Dara Hughes. I think he's Irish.
Okay.
He's that a cute ginger. I love me the gingers, honey.
If I from past
he lives
seasons?
In Carlow, Ireland.
Oh, well, good for you. Good for you, Dara. My favorite episodes from every season are always the ones where they collaborate with a non-drag queen, whether it be the female athletes or the old queens or the
married couples.
Those have always been my favorite. And so
there was one season they were given homeless people to dress up in drag, and then the, you know, somebody's hair caught on fire and they had to be taken to the hospital. It was really sad.
Who did they do this time around?
This season, I think it was brides and grooms.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
And so one of them was Adore Delano had somebody who he gave a makeover and he looked like the gremlin, the lady.
And
gremlin.
They played the mother.
Yeah,
that was Jocelyn. Jocelyn
Fox. That's what it was. Right.
If I was able to play the mother of that is just like Magnolia to a T. I would have loved to do that challenge.
Moed Sot says, seriously, girl, why did you say the stuff you got was hideous or shitty? You kept saying you were a trash queen. I didn't get you at all.
Well, you know, and that's actually true, because to be fair, if I could redo it, that box had a lot of great stuff. I had a whole row, like roll of denim, which if I knew how to sew, I could have made a Canadian tuxedo and that would have just been fabulous. All that denim. But I don't know how to sew. I think the box of hideous came, and also something to point out about that is a lot of what we in those one-on-one interviews in the confessional room, a lot of what they aired was taped like directly after I was sent home. Mm-hmm. So naturally my attitude was a little bit worse than it had been earlier,
because your feelings were hurt,
right? Yeah, well, yeah. Because you just got sent home and you're like, well shoot, you know,
that must be pretty hard to get to, right, go through something then, like that. You're like, I have to act like I'm in the moment and I got sent home and I'm like, oh. Right.
And then to fake it, like, I hope I don't have to lip sync. You know, it, yeah.
Max it's Meyer fun. Says that you are her new drag mother.
You know what? She messaged me on Instagram and she said, can you please just say I can be your drag mom so I can brag to my friends? And I said, sure, why not?
What advice do you have for your drag daughter, Max Meyer? Fearlessly be yourself.
Yeah, there you go. Good advice. Thank you.
No, but you're always telling people to make characters. You're not right. Fearlessly yourself.
No, well, no, that's not true. Else. I am Magnolia is fearlessly Magnolia.
Yes.
So she's always true to herself, with the exception of Drag Race. There were some issues there, which we can get into later. But when I'm but I would say to anybody who's starting out drag to do it for yourself more than, you know, it's all about you. Don't do it for anybody other than yourself, because that's what it's all about. It's about entertaining yourself. And if other people get entertained by it, then great.
Who's the most financially successful drag queen from RuPaul's Drag Race ever?
Me.
Besides you.
I don't know. It depends. Like, I don't know who gets what kind
besides
of
besides RuPaul.
Fee.
And I would say, listen, we've visited and some of these girls in their homes. And let's just say they're not eating, you know, steak every night for dinner, because some of them are vegetarians. But
right.
But it's like, you know, don't get into drag because you think you're going to have this glamorous, exciting life.
It's late nights at a bar, getting up the next morning, getting on a flight, going someplace else. You're tired. You're worn out.
But the
out.
Frequent flyer miles.
Well, as Betty Davis says, you got to like the work.
Well, because you can fly anywhere, right?
You got to love it.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And even on other airlines, right? Or no?
I can't. Do that kind of stuff. I can.
Seth Brady wants to know, when will you put out an awkward auto-tune dance single?
I will put it out about a month and a half, 2 months ago. That's when I'll put it out. Yeah, okay. I did. I collaborated with my dear friend, Adam Barta. And we...
He's the guy who did Tan Mom.
Yes, he is. Yes. He is the king of D-list collaborations.
Why does Adam Barta insist in being in every video that he ever is involved with? And you're like, are you the star or is he the star?
Well, I think he thinks of it as a collaboration, which is exactly what it was. It was a collaboration. And Adam is a good friend of mine. I really adore him. But we did do that song. It's called No One Tells a Queen What to Do. You can watch it on YouTube or download it on iTunes.
We'll play it at the end of the show, so for people who are really lazy. And
yeah, it's really stupid, and I love it. It's so stupid. The video is just so stupid.
Why does nobody tell a drag queen what to do?
Well, the reason why is not answered. It's just more so telling people not to tell them what to do.
Because people you can't tell anything what to do become drag queens. It's the other around. Taylor Miranda says she loves you deeply. How good of a chance do I have to collaborate with you, Miss Mags? If it's something really good and really funny, one of the funniest queens I've ever seen, and definitely one of my favorite. Whoops, I mean, Magnolia Crawford is my favorite drag queen ever.
Well, thank you, Taylor.
You sound like Michelle Visage.
Well, I'll tell you what, anybody who has a good idea and can get themselves to Las Vegas.
Because that's where you're living
now. That's where I live now, yes. So I'm always open to collaborating with people. Speaking of collaborating with people, I have no intention of collaborating with this person, but I adore is Damiana Garcia.
Isn't she fun?
Holy shit, she's hilarious.
Damiana Garcia will show up to an opening of a envelope.
She'll come to Vegas and hang out with you.
She'll do anything for you.
Have you been watching?
She'll give you anal.
Magnolia Crawford.
But have you watched her cult series on Instagram?
Cult?
It's called Cult.
She's interviewing Hollywood stars.
Yes. Yeah, Cult. Holy shit. It's so incredible. I'm like, I can't wait for the next episode. I'm on the edge of my chair. What is it? Jess, that's her name, right? The girl who is, well, watch it.
It's a train wreck.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's so good. Everything she does, yeah.
And you know, the thing about Damiana is like, I always thought that she was kind of in on the joke, but she's not.
Which is fine. Who cares?
I'm just kidding. Actually, he's very intelligent. You can listen to our interview with Damiana on the website and you realize it's all an act.
Have we asked you this yet? Nathaniel Hagamaster says, why couldn't a self-proclaimed trash queen pull off a hoedown?
Well, that's another thing. I actually have never referred to myself as a trash queen except for on Drag Race. So I did. I may have said that. I don't know how many times I called myself a trash. Did I refer to myself as a trash queen more than once on the show?
I don't remember.
I think I said it once. And I think it was when I was saying, I'm Seattle's sexiest. And then I was like, I'm not sexy. I'm Seattle's funny. You know, that was funny.
That was a great line.
Yeah, I thought it was funny. And I did it to be funny. But I used the term trash queen because I don't consider myself a drag queen. And I thought, well, if I'm going to just use this term because it's easier to say than character and all that. But you know, to be honest, Nathaniel, I could have done a better job. I acknowledge that. And I did have a lot of good stuff to work with as a quote unquote trash queen, or even as the character that Magnolia is. But yeah,
how do you think you would have fared on the female shemale challenge? If you had gotten it, would you have been able to spot the psychological woman versus the biological woman?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah. What did you make of the whole controversy over the
well,
shemale?
You know, so
not to bring that up again,
right?
Because we haven't talked about it enough.
Since you were on the show,
I did tweet about that.
Yeah,
I did say. I was always under the impression that tranny was another word for transmission, as in my Oldsmobile 98 Regency has an automatic tranny, you know.
And Nigeria is a country.
Right.
In
exactly.
Africa.
And so is Niger, and so is the Sudan. River. And yeah. Anyway, I do 100% agree that shemale is it's not really that great of a term. And I mean, I know the show is doing it out of jest and trying to have fun with it. But if the community has a hard time, it doesn't like it, then don't do it. And I mean, the show did the right thing by pulling the shemale.
But you know what? We went and rewatched your episode today, or most of the episode, and they still have you've got shemale in it. I thought they were going to pull it
off. Because they said they were going to remove it, and they never did.
But they pulled it from later episodes, right?
I guess that's what they
did. Yeah.
Which I think that was...
consequent episode. I think that's the right thing to do.
Going forward.
Don't erase history.
Mm-hmm. No, because it happened. Yeah. And I mean, if the community has a hard time with it, then be respectful. We do not need to be stepping on our allies' toes. It's just not something that we need to do, especially as a marginalized minority, whether gay, lesbian, or transgendered. I do, however, think that tranny is not their word alone, because tranny does not just mean transgendered, transvestite, transsexual, you know, so it's everybody's word.
But do you feel like as a drag queen, and you know, it compromises you creatively in any way to have somebody scrutinizing what you'd say and do and you know, get second guessing your motivation for controversy?
Yeah, of course. Absolutely.
And so, you know, but why can't we just say, if someone says to you, is like, listen, you know, please don't use this word. It's like, it's really bumming me out. And it's not that worth, it's not worth the fight. It's not worth the joke.
That's exactly, I think that's what happened. The trans gendered community said that to the show, and the show said, okay, you're right, and we won't do it anymore.
So what would you say to, like, a drag queen that's still, like, making that, you know, 50% of her material on stage? Bianca Del Rio.
Well, the 50% of what you see on YouTube.
Right. Well, Bianca's not making... Bianca does everything for Bianca, and she's doing a lot of things right. So, yeah, she's very funny, and people love her, so I guess she's... what she's doing is working for her.
So would you say, like, to Bianca, like, you know, I mean, because she just calls herself an insult queen, mm-hmm. and it is insulting in that way, but it's...
I would never say anything to Bianca to give her any fuel. So I would never say, like, all I would say to Bianca is, you look really pretty. That's about it, because I don't want to give her any more fuel than she already has. So I think the extent of my interaction with Bianca is...
Call me pretty, huh? Right,
you look nice, Bianca. You look really nice. That's a great wig.
Well, it's interesting, like, because both of them were trying to do the clown drag thing, and it's like Lady Bunny's like, you stole that from me. Because you saw that, like, a clown syndrome Lady Bunny show, right? And she was, like, doing the whole... clown drag, Bozo the clown drag as a look, mm-hmm. and then Bianca came out with the same, and it's, I think it was the mm-hmm. same thing, like, with Willem. Lady Bunny's always playing catch up with all the drag queens, because she did Let's Have a Kai Kai, mm-hmm. and Willem released his this almost like the same time, mm-hmm. and it was like Willem's came across as like pornography, mm-hmm. whereas Lady Bunny was like funny and playful and like
and do a shout out, I guess Willem's beatdown is back.
Yay! It's hard to kill a good queen. It's hard to keep a good queen down. It's one of the funniest things on YouTube, next to Magnolia Crawford's video, but it's I'm really thrilled that it's up there again, and, you know, it's one of the best things to come out of the whole show. So I'm really happy to see that.
Willem's humor, of course, is extremely different from mine. My humor comes from awkwardness, and awkwardness, low budget. That's a lot more what the humor comes from, and I'm really, like I said, working with Tim, I'm very excited about that, because he totally gets that, and he will be able to take the low budget and do it professionally.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
so what's your relationship with RuPaul? Because I think a lot of people that watch the show feel as like Ru's like Mama Ru, and she's with you guys all the time, and she follows your careers, and you guys are best buddies. You talk on the phone. That
we do,
you know, sleepovers and tickle parties and things like that.
I'm going tomorrow to have a sleepover with Ru. We're gonna paint each other's toenails and give each other back massages. RuPaul is professional. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. It's a job. Okay. In my opinion.
But I like, how often did you really, and that, because you were on set how many days? 1-2 days.
Yeah, I think so.
And how often did you really see her?
I saw her when she came into the room for, maybe 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then she comes to each table, talks to you for a minute or two.
So
and
do you hate RuPaul or just freedom in general?
Yeah, I hate freedom in general. And you know what? While we're on it, let's just say... long live Putin, you know, while we're on the freedom thing.
And then the next day you see her on the runway, and that's pretty much it.
That's it. And when she's on the runway, she's not interested in being your friend at all, of course.
Right.
Because she's judged.
It's also like time is money. You've got everybody working. Right. You've got doing things, so you're down to business and getting
things
done.
I'm not faulting RuPaul for doing... I mean, she does it as a job. That's what she does. That is her job.
It's a job she loves.
But I can imagine that when you're RuPaul in that situation, mm-hmm. and right now you're the queen maker in terms of drag queens, mm-hmm. people are going to put all sorts of bullshit on you. And it's like, we haven't even gotten started with Cooking with Drag Queens, and we're already getting some really unusual message, angry negative messages about a show that does not even exist
yet.
That has not even been funded by Kickstarter yet. And so I can't even imagine what kind of emotional baggage
that she has to
handle.
Exactly.
You know? No wonder she goes to a ranch in Wyoming.
Right. And I would do it too if I had a ranch in Wyoming. Wyoming's gorgeous.
Why don't you have a ranch in Wyoming?
I took looking at about 3 different places right now. Okay. We're probably going to sign on it in about a month.
Do you have a boyfriend? Are you seeing anybody?
Yes, I am. I do.
How hot is he?
Very.
How long have you guys been together?
We have been together for 3 years.
Oh, wow. Yeah. What does he think of Magnolia?
Yeah,
Does he keep the costume on when you're having sex?
No, not at all. He's supportive of the drag and Magnolia and the
Now, did
character.
He watch you on the show?
No.
No? He's like, I'm not going to watch. You said I don't want you to watch it.
Well, I he could watch it. I don't care, but he didn't. He doesn't watch the show. He's not a big drag person.
No.
He's not he likes drag queens, but it's not like a huge.
It's not his fetish.
No.
This is a really shady thing coming from Coffin Kyle. I don't know what it means, but you can interpret it. Dear Magnolia, how do I maximize my potential to become an enamorata of basicness?
Enamorata.
No, I don't think that's shady at all, because Magnolia has as soon as I caught Kim Kardashian, Khloe. Kardashian one of those girls, Bruce Jenner. As soon as I heard Bruce Jenner say basic bitches not wanted or whatever she said, I immediately started hashtagging Team Basic. So I own it. Magnolia is so goddamn basic. I will say that as Reynolds, I don't think of myself as quote unquote basic, but basic is such a stupid word anyway. It's so stupid.
It's such a no-win situation we have here, because if you're a hipster, you're a loser. If you're a basic bitch, you're a loser. I'm like, what do you want, people?
Exactly.
You can't win.
Who cares? I don't give a shit if I'm considered. I can swear, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
good. Cuss away, baby. Okay. Fuck yeah.
Right. I mean, I don't care if people call me basic. So what if I like Denny's every now and then? They're the only place open at midnight.
I like going to Denny's.
Yeah.
And you're staying out in the suburbs here in Chicago. Let's go to Denny's after we're done taping the show.
Okay, I cannot say absolutely.
I know, it's hard.
I just cannot say you every time
absolutely.
I didn't even watch
even
it.
Gia Gunn is not saying absolutely.
But I don't say it. I don't say it because of her. But when I say it, I think of her.
Were you kind of surprised to see Gia Gunn at the beach today in a boy's bathing suit?
I was surprised.
I kind of expected her to be like in a girl's swimsuit for whatever reason.
It's a really hard thing to navigate to, you know, when, and actually she said she's coming on the show this week.
Well, next week.
No, this week.
I thought we're going to vet.
Wednesday.
Taping a show. Yes. I told you no. We have stuff coming happening on Wednesday.
Well,
I didn't want to put five shows out this week.
Sorry.
We have to work on Cooking with Drag Queens.
Well, you're going to chew me out live on the show.
And then we have Vivacious.
You were standing right there when we did it.
No. I said next week, last week.
Now you have to. Now you have to apologize to Gia Gunn.
Why?
Well, because we already booked her.
I'm excited to have her on.
She's a gem.
Well, it's RuPaul's Drag Race on Feast of Fun this week. But
Don't worry,
we'll have a lesbian on and a guy who's not in drag. So.
Well, you're going to be in drag all week long. That's what you committed to. You're going to have to shave now.
No.
Oh, Mark. Keep breaking people's hearts.
Maybe my legs.
Robert Bulandi says, when you describe your style as something so hideous that it's fabulous, you seem to describe your hoedown box pretty well.
I sure did.
What was it that turned you off about it? What box would you have preferred?
Well, I feel like we're beating a dead horse at this point with the box.
Yeah.
Well, it's because it was the only box that
you had. You know, I mean, I don't know. The bottom line is, I know I didn't go home because of my shitty box. That's not why I went home. I realize that. I own it. I went home because of my piss poor attitude and... maybe I was a little too basic, but
What do you want to say to the haters out here who are still sending you messages and tweets and all those kinds of things about what a horrible person you are, how you're a terrible drag queen, you should have never been on RuPaul's Drag Race in the first place, you should probably just like slit your throat and die.
Cut yourself with your own nose.
Right, Well, you know, honestly, if they're still focused on that, is really like, get a life at this point. I mean, that was 6 months ago almost that it started airing, and that I was on it for that one episode.
But these things are still online.
Well, they are.
Can go back and watch
I mean,
it.
They can, but still, it's old news at this point. It's really, I mean, Bianca Del Rio is yesterday's news. They've already started filming season 7, so get over it.
Yeah.
Let's focus on the new queens.
Let's focus on somebody else to hate.
Right. No, I don't mind being hated. It's much better to be hated and remembered than loved.
Well, you're
and forgotten.
A flight attendant. You're used to people yelling at you.
Right. I take it on a daily basis.
Are you a member of the Mile High Club?
No, I am not.
Have you ever wanted to become a Mile member? Because you have some hot customers, I'm sure.
Today, as a matter of fact, there were several very attractive ones, but no, the airplanes are
Do the captains ever hit on you?
Captains are all often very nice men, but they're very unappealing.
Their kinky motherfucker is like on Grindr and Scruff. Sometimes it's like I'm a pilot.
Okay,
and they're so kinky. Like,
without giving too much away, I work for a quote what's called a legacy airline, and by that I mean it's a big old airline, been in business for 70 plus years.
Eastern Airlines or Pan Am?
TWA. And so our pilots are of an older demographic, and there's nothing wrong with that because older men can be very sexy, but they're of an older demographic who's been sitting on their ass for 45 years flying an airplane.
Oh,
which
geez.
Means they've expanded and gotten jiggly, and it just...
It's not your thing.
Not so my thing,
how
personally.
How true to life is the movie Flight?
Is that the one with Denzel?
Yeah, it was like
where he
doing
does all
six
those
lines
of cocaine and gets drunk.
Have you ever feared for your life?
No, I haven't. But I don't think that's true to life at the carrier I work for. Maybe at a smaller airline. I don't know.
You have friends who work in the industry. Like, do you guys swap stories and be like, girl, he was on the flight. I was like, I wanted a parachute.
No. Honestly, like with the pilots and all, I barely talk to them. To let them out to the bathroom, and that's about it.
Oh, you have to let him out?
Well, 9/11 has changed a lot.
You have to unlock the door for the captain to
come
out.
No, what happens is we have to have somebody standing and watching the, observing the cabin. And it's not because we're trying to block them, but if someone were to run toward the flight deck, whether they're trying to storm the flight deck or not, you just say close the door and then they close and that's it.
How long have you been working as a flight attendant?
7 years.
Have you ever been like knocked over because with turbulence and stuff? Like, have you ever like... Because you're walking around, I would imagine if it goes up and down, you like your head hits the ceiling or something like that.
I've never been what we call clear air turbulence when it's smooth and all of a sudden it gets bumpy.
Mm-hmm.
I've never really experienced that. Pretty much every time I've had turbulence, we've had warnings. So we'll be sitting. Plus, flight attendants sit for most of the flight anyway.
Mm. Lazy fuckers.
You're
like Florence from the Jeffersons.
Right, well, excuse me. I have a USA Today crossword puzzle to work on. So get your own water.
If you would have been the flight attendant with Baldwin, what was the guy who was playing Words with Friends?
Alec Baldwin.
Baldwin. How would you have handled that?
I would have pretended not to notice the phone on because I don't care.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Is leaving my phone on just a big bullshit hoax, or is that like, does it really affect
what it does is drain your battery?
Okay.
Put it in airplane mode because it's going to spend 5 hours searching for a signal and your battery's going to be dead. That's what it does. You know, the thing is, everybody, whether you're a flight attendant or whatever you do, people have to pick their battles. And for me, telling someone to turn their phone off is not a battle that I want to fight. It's not worth it. There's other things that are more important.
And you actually, as a flight attendant, had as a guest on your airline, RuPaul. Herself.
Well, before you got on the show.
Yes. And I've had a lot of exciting guests. RuPaul was one of them.
So RuPaul took the coffee you served her, poured it on the ground, and said, this is the worst coffee I've ever had.
And then she spit in my face.
There was another guest on the show who actually said that RuPaul actually did that once at backstage.
So yeah. You need to work on your coffee
and poured it on the floor and walked.
That's a, like, that's a wonderful moment though. That's like a pure diva moment.
And I have had coffee that I did want to pour on the floor to myself.
Right, you and know? You know what? Airplane coffee is very, very. It fluctuates a lot based on the water because the tanks are filled up in different cities, so the water will taste different in different places. You know, so sometimes
you're like, God, this Idaho water sucks.
Right? Yeah.
So you had RuPaul as a guest on your airline. I mean, a customer.
Customer, yeah.
Flying first class or coach?
RuPaul bought his ticket and was well taken care of.
Okay.
You know.
So, did you guys
can you identify? Is it like a taboo thing to identify whether?
I think that it doesn't matter where they were flying. What matters is
I'm curious to know. The audience is like hanging on their every word of this.
I had Sarah Palin in coach.
Which is a nicer person to serve, Sarah Palin or RuPaul?
You know what? RuPaul was polite and stuck to himself, and Sarah Palin was polite, but she was very, very busy because she had a young baby with her, and she was very
Trig,
right? Yeah.
The kid with Down syndrome.
Exactly. Yeah. And so she was very
and she was governor at the time, right?
She was governor of Alaska, and she was a relatively new governor, and
it was before people started to hate her,
right? Yeah. So and I didn't really know who she was that much. I kind of had an idea who she was, but I wasn't, you know, I do sort of follow politics, and back then I followed them a lot more.
Well, you're a connoisseur of eccentric women.
Right.
So that's exactly you would have known who Sarah right. Palin is.
I thought, who can I model Magnolia after? So there she was.
Really? Or do you feel like Magnolia's based off of like kind of creepy, horrible women? Or?
No, but people have said she's like a deranged Stepford wife.
She is very Stepford wife. Yeah,
right.
Any chance you'll get on RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars?
There's absolutely no chance I would ever go on there, even if they asked me, which they won't.
They asked Willem Belli to do it. He put together a bunch of outfits. He blocked off, because he's a working drag queen, so he blocked off his calendar for it. And the day before, they didn't even call him. They didn't tell him at all. And he had his feelings hurt so bad, he put out a single, RuPaulogize, which made tons of money for
him. Good for him. No, I would never do it. They wouldn't ask me. To be honest, let's just qualify. They will never, ever, ever ask me. But if they did, I would.
You feel like it's a bridge you've burned? Or are they? No. Or are you just, there's mutual animosity there? Or?
I have absolutely nothing against the show. Yeah. And I don't think they have anything against me either. I really enjoy the producers. They're really talented, nice people. Every one of them, I would say, let's have a cup of coffee. And I think that if they weren't busy, they'd say, sure, you know, or get a drink. But Magnolia is just too much for the show. And I learned that the hard way, that I cannot do the show. And they would not want me. There's no reason why they would want me back.
Maybe they want a little redemption.
Right.
You know,
okay,
a little
fine.
Redemption.
Okay, I'll tell you what. If they ever had like a strictly redemption season and they said, hey, you can be on it and we're going to guarantee you
get all the bad
three,
girls from all the seasons and
right,
bring them back.
Maybe then. But I'm not that interested in
I'd
ever.
I'd be worried for my life if Shangela and Mimi I'm First in the same prison.
Shangela can't come back. Twice is enough.
That would be the one that they pull out of the box and they're like, really? Again? Mm-hmm. Oh my
Although
God.
I was happy to see her on season 3. I wanted to see more of her and I was thrilled they brought her back.
I kind of forgot about who she was from like when she came back and they're like, I'm like, oh, she was on last season? Right. I didn't even remember her. Because she was first to go, right?
She was.
Yeah.
And that is something to go back to the way I behaved. I do think, I would say I'm in the top 5 most hated contestants.
Let's run down. Who's the most hated?
Okay, I think I'm up there with, I don't know who's more hated, but I feel like in my league would be Mimi.
Okay.
So the most hated drag queen is Mimi I'm First?
Possibly. I think Serena Cha-Cha's up there.
Okay.
I think I'm up there. Possibly Fifi.
Oh, maybe. Possibly. Yeah. What are you talking about?
Okay,
of course.
Fine. Fifi.
She's number 3.
Roxy's probably
Roxy,
up there.
Agreed.
Yeah. So,
you know who I would add to that list?
Strange?
Oh, Laganja, absolutely.
Yeah. Know, without
totally.
A doubt.
Yeah. So, and I like to think of myself as being amongst the most hated. Mm. And I think that because of that, and I do think I had some pretty memorable lines on my short time there.
Yeah. I have an idea for you guys. The 5 of you guys, girls get together and do a remake of Lady Marmalade.
That's a great idea.
It can't be worse than the Heathers. It can't be worse than the Heathers.
Oh, God. Well, you know what? I'm just going to say I'm gonna boot that.
Okay. I want to remind folks that we can't do the show without your support. So if you're not a Plus member yet, consider signing up today at feastoffun.com/plus because your contribution to the show is what makes this show happen.
That's right, hunties. Without your munties, we could not make Feast of Funties. So if you want to upgrade your podcast experience and get access to all the shows, go to feastoffun.com/plus. Better yet, support our Kickstarter project, Cooking with Drag Queens, and feast
and make
on
them
some
eat it.
Make them eat it, and you know them.
Sizzle that wok.
Make you know. We want to actually like get to know these drag queens. You know, Magnolia Crawford actually like, you know, and I would say this about like all the drag queens on the show is that seeing you guys in drag in person, interpersonally, is a really interesting experience because you know, like Vivacious. Who's also scheduled for this week. People are like, when are you going to get Vivacious on? I'm like, she's scheduled, girl. She's scheduled. We seeing them up close and personal, it actually is really extraordinary because, like, for example, Ornacia's eyes light up and change glow. Color, yeah.
Which I think they showed a little bit on RuPaul's Drag Race, but you didn't really get the full scope of it. And then, of course, when RuPaul interviewed Ornatia, it was a photograph of Ornatia and not the actual, like, with the glowing eyes, right?
Or maybe the eyes just didn't change so much, so it looked like a photograph. Yeah. I don't know what was going on with that. So, you know, and listen, cooking with drag queens, $12,000 is a goal. Mm-hmm. Is RuPaul's eyelash budget.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's still a humble production, but I think it deserves people's attention, and it deserves to see the light of day. And we want to introduce mm-hmm. you to new drag queens and get to know drag queens that you love and are curious about a little bit better. And without your support, we're not going to be able to make it. But actually, 26 days to go, we've reached $5,000.33. And we just, you know, it's just amazing that people have supported this.
And that money's going to go to the production costs of buying the food, getting a kitchen ready, getting people editing it and getting
you know,
it together.
I want to say, having shopping around for an editor and other things, it's like pretty much 100% of the money is just going to go into production costs. Mm. Like, not even the food for the show will be covered for 12.
We'll just make everything 000. With rice. Rice and beans.
Potatoes, rice, and beans.
What can you do for $5?
I want to do a shout out to Liam and Paul McGovern and also Katie Rose Hemphill and Cameron Kane Chong, David Fink, mm-hmm. Matthew Lee Davis, all these wonderful people who, in the last couple of days, have helped us to get to $5,000.33. Now, you can't count your Kickstarter chickens until they're hatched. Mm-hmm. This money might just go disappear back into people's pockets. It'll never happen. It was all a beautiful dream.
And I want to remind folks, too, if you can't make a financial contribution to make it happen, tweet about it, Facebook message, go to the Kickstarter page and do a testimonial. Write something nice about it, because Kickstarter looks at that kind of stuff. And if they can feature it and maybe push it out there into the world, it might really kick it up a notch.
It's one of the few LGBT projects on Kickstarter right now, and it's, you know, it's a beautiful idea. I think the drag queens that will be able to make it on it, you're going to love, and I think it's really exciting and fun, and Mark and I are just a small little part of it. We're humbled and touched by all the people who've supported it and given us a lot of love through the years about it. Now, before we end the show, I want to talk about you. You went to boarding school as a young man.
I did, yes,
and
as it turns out.
What years did you... And you went your teenage years, or was it high
just
school?
Just for my last 2 years of high school, junior, senior year.
And so those is when you were sort of like, you know, thinking about your sexuality. Were you out?
No. It was
a conservative school.
It was a religious boarding school. It was not for bad kids, but it was... And it was co-ed, but I was
maybe
not
you spent
out.
The night there.
Yeah.
And you had a roommate.
Uh-huh. I did. my roommate, by the way, is still a really good friend of mine. And we were friends before we went to school, but in no way would I be attracted to him. And I really need to emphasize
because we hear about those, you know, those boarding mm-hmm. schools that it's just like a hot bedlam of gay sex.
That wasn't the case, but there was a kid. His name was James Pardee, and he used to come to the showers every morning with a morning wood, and he'd just stand there, and it would go up and down and up and down, and of course, I would watch.
Like, look at my boner.
Right.
My boner for Christ.
Yeah, now he has shoulder pads.
Did you ever, like, shower with these guys? Like, because mm-hmm. sometimes, like, in those group shower scenes, like... I've watched a lot
things
of porn.
Get a little sexy.
Right. It wasn't,
that happens.
You didn't, like, soap each other's backs up? And
no, very seldom. Just, like, twice a month or so. You know, it was actually the group shower. They weren't group showers. We had stalls. They were about, like, halfway up, but then they were open.
So they,
like,
saw the top stalls. Half, but not the bottom half.
Well, the top half if you were beside them, but the bottom half if you were in front of them. Because it was two rows of stalls facing each other, and then another stall at the end. So it was like maybe seven or so stalls on each floor had a bathroom, you know, in the dorms.
Hot.
And you you actually did, your first sexual experience was in high school.
Yeah.
You dated somebody.
No, we didn't date. We just
who'd you take to the prom?
Well, we didn't have prom.
Because it was a conservative school,
yeah,
right?
We had
no dancing.
We had banquets.
Well, who did you like? Were you supposed to take somebody to the banquet? Or
yeah, but it was never as a date. It was always fun.
Did you date any girls in high school?
I did have a girlfriend for a brief minute.
Has she like contacted you on social media after like being drag race?
No, she's
like
probably married to a dentist or something.
Because a lot of like my female friends are like now listen to the show, which really is kind of weird. You know, shout out to Kelly Cook in San Francisco.
Yeah, no, we, I don't know the last time I spoke with her.
Wow. What do you feel that, and then, you know, we're wrapping this up right now, that you feel like people don't understand about you, or that you feel like it's something you're just going to feel like you're going to have to take to your grave?
Yeah, you know, I do think that people don't understand me, and that's fine. I don't mind being misunderstood as long as I have a handful of people that get it. That's all that I need. And hopefully that handful can continue to grow. I will say that Reddit.
Reddit, RuPaul's Drag Race Reddit.
Oh, Lord have mercy. initially, I never really, I've avoided that place very, very much. But
there's some good kids in there, though.
Right. And recently, they've really come, a lot of them have come to support me, and I really, really appreciate that. Aww. And there's this, I there's like this running joke where they do the MC, like they slaughter my name and they say something, a name that starts with an M and a name that starts with a C. Have you seen that
like
at all?
Like Micah Cunt?
Right, something like that. And it's hilarious. And it's just kind of become this like recurring joke. And I don't mind being the punchline to a joke. I don't mind it at all. I have said it before. I do not care if you are laughing with me or if you're laughing at me. I really don't care. I don't mind being your punchline. I like making people laugh, and I don't care why it is or why they're laughing. But so
like Who Is Craig says, Magnolia Crawford, don't you mean Magnanimous Chancellor?
Yeah, exactly. Ah. That kind of thing. And it's so funny. And I feel so like
you're becoming a running gag.
I feel honored that they that's happened. It's so stupid, but it's funny.
It's just sweet.
Yeah,
it's very sweet.
Thank you.
You know, it's
thank
one
you,
of my
Reddit.
Favorite subreddits because some people just get carried away and they're just filled with hate and venom. And that community, I don't know who's managing it right now. But they they do a little bit of a smackdown on people who'd get too mean or vicious.
Initially, they were pretty vicious, but I feel like a lot of them have become very supportive. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's just because it's ironic.
But I
don't care why.
I feel that they've kind of gotten nicer since we had Michelle Visage on the podcast. And she was kind of like read them a little bit. Yeah. We kind of commiserated.
She read up to Phil.
and we kind of commiserated together about a couple of different things. But they've been very good to us. And they've been very nice to
us. Listen, they were the first website anywhere to support Cooking with Drag Queens. They had posted it like seconds after, and I just want to do a shout out to Hunty Chaser, Wigsby Little Mix, and Salchicha, who absolutely loves you. She calls you my queen.
Aww.
Hashtag Team Basic.
Thank you. Yes, Team Basic, Team Swordfish.
And, you know, I just want to say for people who are always curious about these drag queens, I would say 99.9% of them are really nice people and don't always believe everything you see on television or the news, you know. Do your own research and come up to your own conclusions. Reynolds Engelhart. Engelhart.
Think of Laura Ingalls Wilde, you know, Wilder.
Reynolds, Wilder. Laura Ingalls Hart.
With more heart. Laura Ingalls with more heart.
The time has come to end the show, but Magnolia Crawford lives on YouTube.
Yes.
And we adore you, not just for your razor sharp wit and nose. But your comfort in being in a painful, awkward, and definitely complicated space. I appreciate you taking the time from being a flight attendant and a drag queen to come to our little home studio and talking with us. I really think it's great.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
You're welcome.
And giving me the opportunity to do a little explaining.
Do you feel like I don't know if we got to learn anything new.
It's fun. I'll say that.
You know
what?
We'll get to the truth. We're going to record you watching being eliminated on RuPaul's Drag Race and see what happens.
Okay.
This is not prepared. This is not rehearsed, right?
Yeah, no, I honestly...
You surprised him with it.
Yeah. I pull it out of my ass.
And I legitimately have not seen the full thing. I've seen little clips online, but...
The rest of the show, it's when you get eliminated. I want to see the moment.
But even that, I haven't seen the full elimination, like run that whole elimination scene where I've seen like itty bitty clips where RuPaul, but very little.
Okay, so we're going to watch it
right now.
It's all new.
Guys, thank you so much for listening. If you want to see Magnolia Crawford watch herself be eliminated, you can do so on our website, feastoffun.com. And you can follow Magnolia Crawford on YouTube at Magnolia Is Me, and on Twitter, help a bitch out and follow this wonderful gal on Twitter. Magnolia Is Me. Or not. Or
do it.
Thank you, Reynolds, for coming on the podcast.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.